Facing budget challenges, hospitals have looked to the manufacturing sector for ideas on how to improve their employees' productivity and efficiency. That's according to a recent Wisconsin Watch report done in collaboration with Wisconsin Public Radio and Madison's Cap Times. The reporters found that implementing what's called a lean staffing model had some negative impact, though, on workload for nurses and raised some concerns about the quality of patient care. Parker Shore is a public affairs reporting fellow for the Cap Times and embedded with Wisconsin Watch. And Bram Sable-Smith is WPR's Mike Simonson Memorial Investigative Reporting Fellow, also with Wisconsin Watch. Parker, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
And Bram, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
Before we get into specific hospitals, this is a story triggered by, it sounds like a trend. Bram, could you tell us about this lean concept as applied to hospitals?
Yeah, so lean, it's a manufacturing model that comes from Toyota. And really, lean is kind of a stand-in for the embracing of the healthcare industry of these kind of manufacturing models that focus on, one, eliminating waste, and two, maximizing productivity. So in the cases of nursing staffing, which is what we're looking at, we're talking about, you know, if we're eliminating waste, maybe that means a nurse with too much downtime. And when we're talking about productivity, it's almost, I kind of think about it like Moneyball in the hospital setting. There's a focus on the productivity of nurses where you can actually calculate, okay, this is how much nursing time we expect we're going to need. This is how much nursing time we actually paid for in a given amount of time. We take the difference, and that's our productivity index. That's a measure of the productivity per unit of service or per patient visit that we're doing. So it's very much the application of a manufacturing model.
Right, from like car factories.
Exactly, from specifically for lean, specifically for Toyota.
Now, Parker, you looked at St. Mary's Hospital, I think, in Madison for the most part. How did this lean concept come into St. Mary's, and what does it look like on the hospital floor?
Well, nurses said that have been there a while when Sister Mary Jean, I think was her name, was walking the floor as a former CEO. They never heard anything about productivity. That wasn't a word really in the hospital's vocabulary. And then over the past maybe 10 years, but more recently in the past few years, these consultants have been brought in, and they brought with them a lot of focus on productivity. Among hospital executives, it's the most targeted goal to reduce the financial strains of their hospitals. So it's really in vogue right now is increasing productivity, specifically on labor.
And yeah, from the hospital perspective, labor is a big cost that they're trying to get control over, among some other costs, but labor is a big one, right? Is that the concept here?
Right. Labor can account for 40%, 50%, even more of a hospital's total expenditure. So it's a big target for hospitals to reduce their expenses for sure.
And nurses feel the pinch of that specifically because they tend to be the largest line item for labor in a given hospital.
And then you looked at a different hospital in particular, Bram, UW Health, also in Madison. How did lean make its way in there?
So UW Health nurses, they've been in the news quite a lot lately. You've talked about your show. Mm-hmm. They're trying to organize a union, and one of the main things that they're talking about is a similar concern to what St. Mary's nurses have about staffing levels. So just like at St. Mary's, UW Health has its own productivity tool where they're mapping out and tracking the productivity of a given unit. And that productivity measurement goes into decisions about, you know, how many nurses are on staff at, you know, at any given time within a unit. If the tool says there might be too many nurses there, a nurse might get sent home. But it also has to do with if, you know, a nurse retires or leaves for some reason, productivity can factor into whether that position will then be refilled later on.
Now, let's find out what this looks like from the perspective of the nurse and the patients that he or she deals with. What does this mean for, if I'm a nurse, how many patients I might be working with, how much time I spend with them? What did you see, Parker?
Well, nurses at St. Mary's are definitely under a lot of strain. They say they're very burned out. They go home. They can barely even eat. They have way too many patients, they say, and especially inexperienced nurses who are the ones that fill in for the veteran nurses who are really the backbone of providing a lot of guidance and just expertise that you can't learn in school, the stuff that comes from years of experience. They're leaving because of these benefit changes, and the people filling those positions are often inexperienced nurses. And they are tasked with having just as many patients as the experienced nurses. And they say that's a dangerous situation to be in. We heard of an anecdote about an inexperienced nurse having to take care of 6 patients overnight. And then this experienced nurse comes in the morning to take over her patients. And it turned out two of the patients had had strokes overnight, and that had gone unnoticed. So a lot of this, the impact on patient care might not show up in data. We looked at Wisconsin Hospital Association data, and we didn't see any clear trends of increase in falls, for instance, which is a sign of short staffing. But talking with nurses, they say these conditions are getting worse, they're becoming more dangerous, and a lot of them had anecdotes to show how having more patients leads to more medical errors and leads to some adverse events.
Did you hear similar concerns at UW Health, Bram?
Yeah, that's right. And in terms of the actually seeing the trends changing in the hospital data, when we're speaking to experts on these things, they're saying it's unlikely you're going to see these kinds of changes at a given hospital over a short period of time. But when you take the large data, when you take a large view of multiple hospitals over a long period of time, the trend is very clear.
You focused on a couple of Madison hospitals. This is not just a Madison hospital story, right, Parker? This is something going on all over the country?
Right. There's strikes that have happened or are currently happening in a half dozen states in the past year alone over short staffing and the nurses and other staff feeling that the conditions are unsafe. A recent study showed that 70% of hospitals in the nation have adopted lean or some other form of efficiency optimizing sort of manufacturing model. A very much smaller percentage of those have maturely or widely implemented these models. But lean has really, you know, is in the vast majority of hospitals in the nation.
Talking to Parker Shore and Bram Sable-Smith about the reporting for Wisconsin Watch on the lean model, cutting labor costs at hospitals, the impact that can have on the job of the nurse and maybe the health of the patient. Bram, you, as part of this piece, talked to some experts who are, in some cases, advocates for the lean approach and the productivity numbers, who said, yeah, but if you use them right, and they say hospitals may be using them wrong. What kind of things did you hear?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, lean in and of itself is not, it's not a bad thing. And it has had a lot of, you know, significantly good impacts in the healthcare industry. Hospitals around the country have used lean to reduce the amount of time that patients are waiting to get into the ER, for example. They've used it to have a more efficient, intuitive process for, you know, stocking supplies. So lean in and of itself, it's something that people really are advocating for. And you can kind of understand why it's taken off in hospitals around the country. But, you know, when you focus on one specific part of it, this is what the lean advocates are saying. If there's an overemphasis on something like productivity, you know, at the expense of this overall approach, that can lead to this kind of labor tensions that we're talking about.
And Parker, some hospital departments don't know when their patients are coming. A delivery ward, for example, can't predict if 0, 1, or 5 women are going to show up to deliver. Is that a concern you heard raised?
Right. So a lot of these staffing levels are maybe fine in ideal circumstances, or if their models are correctly, and you know the amount of patients that the model thinks are going to come, and maybe then you have enough nurses at least, so it's not dangerous. But if there's an influx, like a bunch of mothers in labor suddenly showing up in a department, that might throw a wrench in things and really impact patient safety. So we heard an anecdote from two nurses in a recent hectic weekend in the labor and delivery unit where a woman was in labor and she was calling out for pain medication for an hour alone as her nurse was tending to another emergency. And we heard in other units where suddenly a nurse will have two highly acute patients, so people with serious medical challenges. And that would happen in the past, but in the past you had more nurses that could help on that. Now there's not a lot of wiggle room or flexibility to help out when sudden things happen like they often do in hospitals.
Bram, were you able to get a response from UW Health about these kind of concerns being raised?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at UW Health, they said this all started in 2017 with an initiative to save $80 million over the course of 18 months. UW Health exceeded that. They saved over $100 million. And a spokesperson said that their staffing is back to pre-2017 levels, that there's kind of some unique financial conditions in 2017 that were leading to the necessity for that kind of cost saving that included labor cuts. So they say that staffing is back to pre-2017 levels, but nurses say that these kind of staffing issues persist even with that.
And Parker, how about St. Mary's?
St. Mary's didn't really want to talk a ton for this article. They did say that they meet patient need across all units, across all ministries. They didn't really go into specifics about their procedures that ensure this. Their response was minimal.
And Bram, you were out in the field, I think, reporting this before COVID-19 became such a big news story. Was there anything, any indication about how this maybe lack of slack in hospital capacity could impact the response to a sudden influx, a pandemic?
So this is an area we're reporting on right now, talking to nurses, going back, talking to some of our previous sources, talking to new sources about that. And it's absolutely on their mind. I think the way you described it, the lack of slack, really is, that's the big concern. That's what we're talking about, is kind of a rigidity, a inflexibility to respond to these kinds of influx events. At UW Health, you know, we're talking to nurses who just in the past few years, they've started getting these pages, these text messages from unit managers pleading for extra help. You know, we need a sixth nurse right now. Could that be you? Hey, we can buy you pizza, things like that. These kind of desperate messages asking for more staff. And that's within like the normal churn of circumstances. So as one nurse put it to me, this kind of staffing austerity and the pandemic together are not a good fit. And it's something that's on people's minds. Absolutely.
We'll watch for your future reporting on this. Bram, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Parker, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you.
That was Parker Shore, public affairs reporting fellow for the Cap Times, who is embedded with the Wisconsin Watch, and Bram Sable-Smith, the WPR Mike Simonson Memorial Investigative Reporting Fellow, also with Wisconsin Watch. You can read more of their reporting on staffing at hospitals at wisconsinwatch.org.